It's Psalm 19, page 858. Psalm 19, page 858. A Psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me, then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Those were the words of God.
Thank you for the reading as well, Atta. We are continuing to look at some psalms, psalms of worship and psalms of praise, psalms that help us focus upwards as we bow before the Lord and as we get to know him. Now, Psalm 19 is quite closely connected to what we looked at last time in Psalm 8 as well, but it has a different special focus. The question I want to answer today is, how do we know God? In fact, a lot of people go one step further than that, or one step backwards, even asking, how do you know what God? Atheists would say that there is no such thing as God. Agnostics would say, well, you don't know whether you can even know a God. There is no such knowledge you can have. And both these two groups have the basic approach of, give me evidence. Prove to me who God is, and then I will believe in him. But prove that to me first. What's your proof? I had discussions about this with a lot of people before, and especially young kids, as they ask, well, how do we know that our God is the true God? How do we know that he exists? And this always brings a conversation to mind of a person who approached a Christian once and said, well, asking this exact same question. How do you know God exists? Have you ever seen God? Have you ever touched God? And yet you say there's a God. I normally use this regarding the heart, but apparently this person also then approached this guy back and said, well, you say you have a brain, but have you seen your brain? Have you touched your brain? And yet you say you have a brain. And it's the same thing with the heart almost. How do you prove those things? Well, there are maybe scientific things you can do about them, but certain things in life you just believe. For us as Christians, it runs deeper than that, because for us, as we find in this psalm, as we believe, God reveals Himself to us. And we see Him and we get to know Him in so many ways. And that's what Psalm 19 wants to do. Psalm 19 wants to help us understand that God exists and that He actually reveals Himself to us. Now, if you look at Psalm 19, Psalm 19 is seen by many as one of the best poems in the Bible, one of the best poems in the Psalms. C.S. Lewis, a well-known writer, for example, says this is the greatest poem in the Bible. And if you look at the Hebrew, you can certainly see that it is a special psalm as well. It's put together quite artistic by the writer. Now, in my limited knowledge of the Hebrew, it will be hard to actually convey that to you and explain that. So you have to understand that we lose a bit of that as well in a sermon like today. Because if you think about it, this is a poem written in Hebrew, translated to English, being explained by a person who's actually Afrikaans to people who might even be talking Cantonese or German or any other language as well. So to get that true sense of the depth of this psalm is something we can't almost do. And yet God in His grace reveals His truth to us even in this psalm. It's a wonderful psalm where David answers this question. Can we know God? Can we see God? And he says, yes, we do. God reveals Himself to us. And this is a very important thing, I think, to understand as well. It's not as if David is saying that there are things in life, like creation, that reveal God to us. It is God revealing Himself to us through creation or through other ways. You have to keep in mind almost, and I touched on this before as well, where Moses asked the Lord to reveal some of His greatness, His glory to him, and then He passed Moses by, and Moses could just see the back of God and got the sense of God's presence. And I'm mindful of what I say, because in this service before, I mentioned this as well, and I said that you could see God's backside, and it's not that, but they could feel God. He could feel God's presence, and his whole face changed because of that. It's almost that sense when you are sleeping, once again, and I mentioned this before as well, when your eyes are closed and you're sleeping and you just become aware that someone's in the room. When a kid stands next to your bed, you know that they're there, but you don't see them until you open your eyes. It's that sense that God tells us that He's there. He reveals Himself to Moses, and He reveals Himself to us. And yet to see God in all His glory, in all His greatness, we cannot do. Paul says this to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6. He says, God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to Him be honor and might forever. Paul's saying that He's almost unapproachable in His greatness. And yet, this is the God who reveals Himself to us and even wants to be in a relationship with us, wants us to know Him as a Father in heaven. Psalm 19 says God uses two ways to do this, to reveal Himself to us. Two ways that we would normally describe as the general or the natural revelation, and then also the special or specific revelation. So we look at those two things as we find them in this psalm today. So if you want to open your Bibles at Psalm 19, it would be actually good to follow his deliberation on this. Now, as before in Psalm 8, I think David is such a person, a great person to explain God and his creation, because I think he lived so close to creation itself and nature. As a young boy, how he tended his flock and was lying in the fields of Palestine, of Israel, and just looked up and saw the stars with no cities, no lights, no iPads or iPhones keeping him up at night. Just lying in nature, in creation itself, and feeling and seeing God's presence and God's glory. And as he walked in the fields, just looking at the grass and seeing the insects and seeing all those things, and just standing and seeing God in those things. See, I think the two things that David wants to explain as well is that God in his creation, or in his revelation, in these two ways he reveals himself to us, it's as if he is doing this by having us read two books. The first book being this general revelation of God's creation. And everything in creation becomes a letter or something in that book itself. A little insect that he might stand at and look at could be like a little dot as part of this book that he's reading. If I look at myself in the mirror, I can just imagine being a letter D or a letter B or even an 8, I think, if I look in the mirror. And you might see yourself as something else in that book, or you might look at anything else in this creation book, but it all explains and reveals God's glory to us. David said in this psalm once again that as he was in the field, as he saw creation, as he saw God reveal himself in creation, this song came to him. And this is what he wrote in the first 6 verses. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voices is not heard. Their voices goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Can you just see how he's reading this book and how he's seeing God reveal himself in this wonderful book of God's creation? It declares God. The skies proclaim the glory of his hands. Their voices goes out. He could hear them talk about God and proclaim his greatness. Now, in all these passages, verses in the first part, David refers to one word for God only. I mentioned different words for God before, and the only word he uses for God here is the word Elohim. And it's the word we would find in the Bible describing God as creator, the great almighty God, the great creator of all things. And that's the only way he uses for God in these 6 verses. This is what all of nature and all of natural revelation reveals, the greatness of God Elohim. And we see him in the whole of creation. He's saying, it's as if creation is singing the song. It's revealing God's majesty. And it's doing so without stopping at all. David is saying that it happens day after day. It happens moment after moment. Every single moment this is happening. And the word he uses is he's saying that day after day they pour forth speech. And the word he uses is like a bubbling spring. Just imagine water keeping on bubbling out. And that's what creation's doing. It just keeps on bubbling out words of revealing God's greatness. And we see this in so many ways when we look around us. It just keeps on bubbling up the greatness of the Lord. It's the same revelation that we find every single day. It's the same revelation David saw that we saw today as well. We see today. When we go out and when we see creation, when we see God's creation and nature itself, it's the same revelation that we see that David saw 2,000 years plus ago. The same revelation of the same God. And it's happening as well every single place in this whole universe. If you're on the moon, you'll find God revealing him as the creator, the great Elohim. On this earth, we see it wherever we go. Now, you might be someone who sees God's greatness when you're camping and when you look at the sea, the ocean, and you look at the waves and you just think, what a great God we have who created this. Or you might be a mountain person when you go to the Blue Mountains and you stand there and you look at God's creation and you say, wow, God is great to put this together. You might be a sunrise person, Sunday mornings getting up at 6 o'clock and watching a sunrise, but seeing God's presence in the sun rising, or a sunset person. Or it might even be that it's not sight, but it's sounds that proclaim this to you. When you wake up in the morning and you hear the birds outside, or in the middle of the night when you hear the crickets and the insects singing, and all they're saying is, how great is Elohim, the creator of all these things. That's the book we should be reading. That's the book that David is saying that proclaims and reveals the existence, the essence of who God is to us. It reveals to us how small we are. In all those places when we stand, when we look at God's creation, you kind of think of how small we are. This is what David said in Psalm 8. When I see the glory of God's greatness, then who am I that God should care for me? When I consider your heavens, he says, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? See, all of this brings to us that the fact that we have no excuse in saying that we didn't know that God existed. Paul writes this to the Romans as well, telling them that in the whole of creation, God reveals himself, so there's no excuse for man to one day stand before the judgment throne and say to God, well, I didn't know that there was a God, because God reveals himself in his creation to us. But if you look at creation itself, if you look at this natural or general revelation, it's very limited still, because we see the fact that God exists. We get to know a bit of how he works and what he has done, but we don't get to know our Savior. We don't get to know what he is requiring of us. We're still left with questions of how do we worship him then? And very often without these answers, when we only have creation as a means of getting to know God, then we start worshiping creation itself. And that's why God also in his grace and mercy reveals himself even more closer to us in what we understand to be the special revelation, God's Word. This is how Psalm 19 continues. So the first six verses tell about how we read this book of natural revelation, then it goes into more specifics. In verse 7 to 9 it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. First of all, when you read these verses, David starts using a different name, a different word to address God. He doesn't use the word Elohim anymore, the Creator God, but he uses the word that we've looked at before, the word Yahweh for God. A word that God uses to tell us that he wants to be in a relationship with us. He's the God of the covenant. The God that wants to be close to us and wants to be more known more specifically to us. And to be our Savior, that Yahweh. The one we had to look at where Jesus reveals himself to be the I Am in the first series of this year. That's the word David now uses. And he says in these verses that God, this Lord, the Lord Yahweh, reveals himself to us through his word. And David uses six different words to reveal something about God's word to us. He calls God's word a law, statutes, precepts, commands, fear, and ordinances. And the only word David had back then, you have to be mindful of that as well, the only Bible David had back then was the first books, five books of the Bible we have today. He didn't have the Psalms to read because he was actually going to write the Psalms. He didn't have the books following that because that hasn't happened yet. He didn't have the New Testament yet. He had the five books, first five books of the Old Testament. But in those five books, he says, that is where God speaks to me. That is where God reveals himself to me in his word. And he teaches me all these things that I read in there. And that's true in the whole Bible as well. So we can compare what he says here to the whole of God's word that we have today. So this is what he says, just briefly touching on these things. This is what he says. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. I think very often when we think about the law of the Lord, very often people think about this negatively. The law of the Lord is where the Lord says to us, well, don't do this and don't do this and don't do this and don't do this. It's not a negative thing at all. It's a positive way. It's a way of God teaching us how to live. This is what you should be doing. This is how you should be honoring me. You need to love your neighbor. You need to do all these things. You need to love me above all, but you need to love your neighbor as well. This is what you should be doing in life. It's a positive thing, and if we understand that, and when we look at God's law that way, then it does revive us and bring us to life and give us energy. But replace, perhaps understand God's word as well. So the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The word of the law of the Lord is perfect. And it revives the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Or then the words, or the word of the Lord is trustworthy, making wise the simple. See, the Bible doesn't change. The Bible is not a variable thing. What it says now is what it has said since the beginning, and it will say so until the end. The word that we have is the word that will never change. Times change. And how we understand it sometimes would change. But what God says never changes. The truth never changes. It always stays the same. And therefore it's trustworthy, and therefore it brings wisdom to us when we read it. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. And the precepts here we could understand as well as directions to a certain address, for example, that people would give you. A road map that someone would pass on to you. The GPS that you would use. The way God directs us in life on the paths we should take. That is what the word does. The word of the Lord is right, giving joy to the heart. Because if we know where we're going, we have joy in our hearts. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Or then, the word of the Lord is radiant, giving light to the eyes. And isn't that so true as well? If we take God's word, and the more time we spend in it, the more we read it, the more we understand and hear God speak to us, the more it enlightens our lives, and the more we understand how we should be living and how we should do the things we do. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. Or then, the word of the Lord is pure. It endures forever. Then ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. Or if you want to change that and understand that the way we do today, the word of the Lord is sure and altogether righteous. Everything we need, we have in God's word. God reveals himself to us personally so that we can know who he is. And that's why this is precious, and that's why David continues to say that God's word is more precious than gold, than much pure gold. Now think about this. How precious is the Bible to you? How much time do you spend in God's word? Compare that to what he does here, to gold. Say you have the same size of gold in the other hand. Oh, and let's just even encrust that with diamonds and emeralds and rubies, whatever you like. What's worth to you more? How many people will choose this book, and how many will choose the golden book full of diamonds and emeralds and rubies? So we need to understand that all those other things will go to waste. When we go past the next life, you won't be able to take any of that with you. But this has eternal importance. This brings true life to you. This helps you understand your Creator, helps you understand Elohim, the Creator, helps you understand Yahweh, who wants to be your Father and care for you and save you and redeem you. This is much more important than any gold or any precious stone in life ever can be. It's sweeter than honey, he says, the honey from the comb. Oh, it's just great. The more time we spend in God's Word, the more it just flavors our lives, enriches us. It just fills us with knowing who God is. David says the more he understands this, and the more he sees God, and the more God reveals himself to him through these two books, the more he understands his own weakness and sin. The more he understands how much he needs God to be there for him. And therefore he ends with a very special insight as well. He goes from calling God Elohim to calling God Yahweh, and finishes this psalm by calling out to God as his Redeemer. Now, David didn't know anything about Jesus Christ who would be born later for him. He didn't know those exact details. We now can look back at the Bible and we read Psalm 19. We have all of the New Testament in mind, and we know that's what's going to happen after this. So we can see this come true. But David only had the seed of this knowledge planted in his heart by the Holy Spirit, that he will one day have a Redeemer and God will come down and redeem him and save him. And this came true in Christ Jesus. John 1 verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. See, God reveals himself in natural revelation in creation. He reveals himself in his Word, but then his Word becomes personal and comes down in Jesus to be with us and to fulfill all those promises of redemption and salvation and bring life itself to us. And we can see that. It's revealed to us. God's love for you is revealed when that person, Jesus Christ, dies on the cross for your sins. Thinking of you, wanting to save you. At that very moment, God reveals himself in his Word, through his Word, through his Son. Does God exist? Oh yes. How do we know? Because he reveals himself to us. We can see that. Our eyes are opened by the Spirit to not only see that, but to worship and honor him for that. And when we truly want to respond to this revelation of God to us, then there's only one way, the way that David also says at the end of this psalm. When I read these books, Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts just be pleasing unto you, our rock and our Redeemer. It's only one way of responding to God's revelation, and that's to read the books and worship and proclaim him our King. We are going to watch a song now that was written by a guy called Tim Hughes and will be performed by him as well. And he built this song on this last verse of May the words of my mouth. Just how do I worship the Lord? How do I answer him in his revelation? How do I follow him and give my life to him for what he has taught me and how he shows himself to me? So let's watch this song and listen to the song on the screen, and then the band will be up to lead us afterwards.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart bless your name, bless your name, Jesus. And the days of the dead and the truth in my way. Speak of you, Jesus. For this is what I'm glad to do. It's time to live a life of love that pleases you. And I will give my all to you. Surrender everything I have and follow you. I'll follow you. Will you be my vision? Will you be my guide? Be my hope, be my light and the way. And I look not for riches or praises on earth. Only you'll be the first of my heart. For this is what I'm glad to do.
Respond. Let's stand and let's respond. The next song we're singing is actually from that Psalm 19. Heavens declare, let us adore.